And this is the Ramen Roundup show. And this is the time of the day when you get really nervous, when you've got a really, really big person coming on the phone. And we've had legends all over the place. Now we've got a legend of radio coming on the phone as well. So this is pressure. No mistakes, Dave. This is what you've got to keep telling yourself, James, yeah? And a big welcome to the Ramen Roundup show to, probably the knowledge of all non-league football, Miss Caroline Barker.
Oh, don't be daft. Don't be daft. I thought you were talking about Dave Anderson, who's coming up on the show later.
No, he told me, he said there's only one person, he said, you need to get on the show to talk non-league football, he said, and you've got to get Caroline on. That's what he said.
Oh, he's a good boy. On occasions, he's a good boy. No, it's absolute pleasure coming on to talk about non-league, not least, of course, my love of the old Ishman League, where my team, Chelmsford, used to find themselves.
They did, and they're away with the birds now, they're flying.
Well, sort of. We've had a couple of dicky old seasons. But, you know, I'm ever the optimist on where we'll end up. But when we won the promotion from the Ishman League, it was or the Ryman League, sorry for your sponsors. When we won promotion from the Ryman League, it was a bit of a heavy heart, really, because you love going and seeing all the big names that we used to go and play week in, week out as well, and that real local connection that you get from going to teams up the road. So, yeah, fond memories of the league.
I think one of the things for me, Caroline, is what you mentioned. It was quite amazing when we first started doing the show, because it's sort of like I only got involved with Harlow sort of like two and a half years ago.
Yeah.
And it was the season when Grays came past Morden Triptree in the North Division, and I was involved in that sort of season, but then got involved in the radio after going to the Ryman Awards. And it's amazing how many people there are that you'd class as sort of football superstars that are actually sort of connected to the Ryman League, in the likes of, we've had Mark Halsey on, the likes of Matt Letizier and Tony Gow, so these type of people that have been on there, yourself as well. And it's quite amazing at this level how many sort of big stars are actually putting something back into the non-league game at this level.
Ollie Mers used to tear up the wing for Witham Town. There've been names associated with it, but I think more importantly, you've got some big crowds still that are knocking around. Look at Dulwich the weekend for non-league day. Dulwich Hamlet pulling in their record crowd at Champion Hill. It is one of these leagues that does attract good, healthy crowds and people that are just passionate about their side, as we all are, aren't we, really? And I think there's good heritage in those clubs, in those leagues too.
Well, it is. It's one of those things. I think when we first started doing the show, I think Nick Robinson said to me, he said, David, he said, whatever you do, he said, you can't make it a Harlow Town-based programme. So I said to him, not a problem, Nick. And I remember, as you said many a time on the programme, Nick was in the studio with another one, I think, of your host in Dave Watters as well, was in the studio with him. And Dave was in here with us, and all Nick talked about most of the night was Harlow Town. And I'm sitting there sort of having a chuckle to myself, thinking, what's going on? You know, you said don't talk about them, and then that's all you wanted to talk about all night. But it's quite
well, they're doing all right, aren't they, in the north at the moment? Second or third?
Yeah, we was first this time last week, though, Caroline, so we dropped one down. But there we go, we can't have everything, can we?
Hey, well, at least you're up towards the right end of the table.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, we were down the wrong end, so it's quite nice to be up the top for a change.
No, I used to enjoy a good trip to Harlow as well. I've been a couple of times to watch Harlow play in various different guises, but we're not going to make this the Harlow Town show, of course. So easy to do.
It is so easy, so easy. I mean, I suppose one of the questions for me would be is with your sort of like non-league programme, why did the BBC move it so early in the morning? Because a lot of people that I speak to say, oh, I love that show, but it's so early in the morning now, and it's almost as if, you know, people turn around and say to me, it's as if the big people, not just the BBC, but Sky and BT and all that, really, we'll do something, but we'll hide it in the corner somewhere and just leave it in that little corner.
You know what, for me, it's the perfect time of the morning, and not because I'm an early bird, but at that time, Five Live, which is where we broadcast, actually goes out on all the local radio stations as well.
Oh, right.
So for local radio, non-league football is obviously the heartbeat. And so at 5 in the morning, you can hear Five Live. If you tune on to BBC Essex or BBC Kent, wherever it might be, you'll hear our programme go out. So for me, it actually kind of fulfills the right kind of area. I know what you mean. To have live interaction, which would be perfect, and to get that instant interaction, then it'd be great to have something later in the evening as well. We could kill two birds with one stone, perhaps get both on, get rid of 606. No, I don't mean that at all. What the great thing is, programs like 606, Robbie Savage, every Saturday picks out a non-league team of the day for us. And for non-league day itself, you know, the coverage was on BBC Sport on TV. I'm actually in the BBC Sport building at the moment across from the TV studio, and they did a big bit on non-league football, not least the Mushrooms at Bungie, which I'm sure you heard about. And then on Five Live, which is kind of the floor above me where I'm sat at the moment, they did big bits in Breakfast and in Drive Time. And so it had a real thread throughout and a real story throughout. And you'll find on social media in particular, Robbie, as I mentioned, tweets about it, 606 as well, talk about a BBC Sport, talk about non-league football. And it's about stories that merit a conversation as well. You know, not just about individual teams. How could we possibly touch on the thousands of teams every week in, week out, but what are the stories, regardless of the leagues, that actually you can have a conversation about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because it's one of those things. I know one of the guys that normally that's normally with me, Carl, his team's Soham Town Rangers, and we were just having a discussion last week, and we were putting our names forward, actually. It was quite funny in the show last week about it would have been really nice to see like a non-league programme on either the BBC TV or ITV or Sky or BT or whatever else, where you've got like an hour where you've actually got that type of thing where with the big stories on the TV. And he was saying about, you know, he was a little bit disappointed in the fact that because it was non-league day at the weekend, with the likes of Sky and Jeff Sterling's program, that there wasn't a few reporters sort of like in a few of the grounds where they knew, say like Bungay Town and Dulwich, and that they knew where there's going to be some grounds. Because I think in that sort of level of this type of level of football, where with the senior football, when you've got sort of people at the ground, TV coverage, people might say, oh, I'll stay at home and I'll watch it on the box. But if you've got the smaller grounds like the likes of Harlow and Chelmsford and these type of places, that people will say, oh, the Sky going down there, there's going to be a reporter down there tomorrow, I'm going to go down and watch that game, because then it sort of maybe drives the people into the ground rather than driving them out.
Do you really know, I had this argument with a chairman this week about whether Sky TV drives people away from non-league football. If there's a live game on, the majority of non-league clubs will have it in the bar, won't they? And if you've got a live game on, and it's just a personal opinion, just around the corner, then I'd far rather go to that. I've had opportunities, some of my family support Spurs, I've had opportunities to go and watch Spurs on Saturday, or go and watch Chelmsford, and I always go to watch Chelmsford around the corner. You might think me daft, but I do. I think actually, if it's all about how the individual clubs attract those fans in, what's on offer when you get in there. And I don't just mean on the pitch. I mean everything surrounding it too, what incentives. Non-league day is great to give that spike to non-league football once a year. But actually, how do you keep that spike up and make that kind of more of the norm? How do you get these extra 100 through, extra 50 through that you wouldn't normally see at your club? And you have to give them value. I don't mean cash incentives, but how you're injecting value back in. Could be kids for a quid. Could be actually when you come in, £2 pints. Could be actually just enjoying that atmosphere of being in a football club and being in that environment, which is the whole reason I got involved and the whole reason I wanted to be there, was to be with my family, to enjoy that kind of family experience that you get, and to feel like you're actually part of something and watching something progress.
I must admit, I'll be honest with you, if I had the choice between Tottenham and Chelmsford, I think I'd go to the same place as well, personally. But there we go. But then again, you know, I think it's one of those things, even people at where I work, you know, they turn around to me and they know I'm an Arsenal fan and so forth. And, you know, I think it was the same weekend that Arsenal beat Everton in the Cup semi-final and so forth. Harlow were going up to the top of the table, close to possibly automatic promotion or you know, the second or third place in the playoffs, and we lost on the day 1-0 to Waltham Forest, who were rock bottom, and people were sort of looking at me going, you look like you've had the world taken off you. I said, well, I do. I said, I just want to jump off there with a rope around my neck, because we
just
lost
1-0.
Feel
a lot more. You do feel it because you have lived through that experience. And I don't just mean watching them play football, but you've lived through the experience of knowing that your fiver is making a lot more of an impact than it would at Spurs or at Arsenal. You know, we'll make more of an impact. And I did notice you got Harlow into the conversation again, which was very well done.
I know, I'm doing all right. I've got James Colasanti in the studio with me. He just wants to ask you a question as well.
Hiya, James.
Evening, Caroline. How are you?
Very well, thank you. A man who on social media is well worth a follow.
Oh, good. What an endorsement. You heard it here first.
I'm just flattering you before you actually ask me a difficult question.
Absolutely. I've been saying, I'm thinking, should I let her off, you know, or should I chuck a few curves in?
Nah, go on.
Like, I mean, it's the Ryman show, but I obviously follow the mighty Clarets among other teams. I was going to ask you about Glenn Southam's move to Sutton. I know he didn't go down particularly well. And not least with the manager, and I just wonder what you made of that move. Glenn, a bit of a traitor there.
Have you opened a Chelmsford programme recently? Have a look at who sponsored Glenn Southam. You might see my surname next.
It was you, was it? I see.
It's my fault. I cursed him. For me, he came in, and when we needed him, he's got great legs running up and down the pitch, great pedigree as well, a bit of calmness, especially with the younger players coming through. But you can't stop a player moving on if they want to, can you? And we as fans, because it's part of the 12th man scheme and bringing him in and helping fund his wages. But actually, by all accounts, I wasn't able to go at the weekend, but we still showed great balance in midfield. We've got Mark Hughes in there, who again is another player of pedigree. Apparently he played with a lot more freedom, had Christian Smith in behind him, who's played at Chester previously, and again, one of these players that can hold it up and can protect the defence as well. So actually, you know what, it's better if you can move someone on, get a bit of money in for them as well, then let them go. Mm. You know, it's we have players who have played for Chelmsford, like the likes of Mark Haynes, who is seen as a Chelmsford player at the back in defence, And those players will stay, and you'll see them improve. And Ricky Holmes in previous years, who we're now seeing at Portsmouth with a ridiculous ponytail, he came through, obviously, the Chelmsford ranks.
Sorry, pre-season against Thurrock, he was still flying, God, he's so quick. Yeah.
Flying down the wing. Yeah. And that's the sort of player that draws fouls out of them. But he stayed at Chelmsford for a long time, showed a lot of loyalty. But they've got to move on, haven't they? Mm. I'm not going to roll out a cliche, but there's one in there that you'll know about players being bigger than the club and not being. And that's the point of it, isn't it? They spend the money wisely, bring in some other players, as they have done, to try and strengthen at the back and also up front as well. That's all you can do.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to have an Essex non-league fan based in the heart of the BBC's non-league coverage. So
the premier non-league team in Essex, I think you're fine.
Well, I will not be drawn. I mean, look, rather than hijacking this for Vanarama, it is the Ryman show. So, and it's a great show you put together. So well done on that. Anybody who knows me knows that I wouldn't pay you a compliment unless I meant it. So, yeah, really good, and I really enjoy it. But I was going to ask about, your balance, and believe me, I know how difficult it is editorially to balance these things. Mm. Are you happy with the amount of time you give, the Ryman stuff or, just sort of Step 4 stuff in general?
For me, I always say, and this is the kind of, I don't know how many times you can really say it during a programme, but if there's something people want to hear, then they just have to get in touch. The wonders of modern technology now, in that you can record, and we do put on a load of fan-generated content. You can record an interview at your club and send it in, and we'll put it in. But for me, it's got to be about, it's a story that merits conversation, like I said at the start, regardless of whether you're Step 5 or you're sitting top of the conference premier. Now, obviously, there's a focus towards the conference premier because of, again, back to the local radio part and obviously on national radio, they're the sort of the big teams that will probably draw people in. But for me, if Lewis is suddenly doing a story, and Lewis has done many stories with their great posters, and the like that we see at Lewis, always looking for something imaginative down there.
Yeah.
If they're doing a story that will resonate with a side that's also in the North West Counties League, then of course we do it. But it's about also about people making you aware of these stories too.
Absolutely.
Media's been brilliant. Social media's been brilliant for that, for raising the awareness of non-league football. But there is so much going on. We follow on our Twitter, I think we've got like 3,500 people, or however many it is, which is great, because it means that people can send you a discreet direct message if there's a story, because we follow them. Yep. But you don't always see everything that pops up on your feed, so it's people making you aware that there's a story there. We try and focus on a different club from a different league each week as well. So just about clubs letting us know that there's something interesting going on at their side. And we try and make you do the legwork in recording it.
Absolutely. I think you've articulated the point that, you know, all sports journalists, you know, people with an interest in non-league, try and communicate to all clubs, you know, about these things. It's an open door, you know, be vociferous, come after us, let us know. If it's something that interests you, you know, if it's something imaginative, then do let us know, because it will capture other people's imagination as well, you know. So it's just a case of knocking on the door, really. But
a story is a story. It's just rebranding the name at the top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, but thank you very much for your time. I will see you on the Twitter highway, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, you're both welcome on any time on the show, as well as Twitter.
Beyond, they're like a shot, aren't we? Absolutely.
Might not get you off, that's the problem.
That's the problem. But one of the things that we always, you saying these are news stories and stuff that we say, but one of the funniest things, we brought it up on one of the first shows we had, and there's a gentleman down at Redbridge Football Club, and his name's Adam Silver.
I know Mr. Silver.
You know Mr. Silver. Well, Mr. Silver is on the show next week, but he's one of the things that he came on the show, and he came on quite regularly the first sort of year we started doing the show, and one of the questions that he asked on that day, and it sort of stuck, and every now and again someone sends something in on the email around, and it's a really silly question, but it comes up, and you might have your own sort of take on this as well. But as you know, Adam likes his food, and one of the things he liked was he wanted to know where the best burger was in the Ryman League, is where he said, but we'll open it up to non-league football in general, because he's just emailed me again today, and the headline on his email is Burger Update, and he's actually got Romford Football Club as 8 out of 10.
I'm a vegetarian. I'm not at all. As much meat as I can get. Read into that what you want. Where have I had it? I honestly don't eat burgers at football grounds, because mainly I go along with my family, and my brother will have made sandwiches, and there'll be old Dave along the road will have brought some sweets that have been at the bottom of his pocket for 4 years, and then someone else will hand around something else. We've got this back row at Chelmsford at the back of the stand, which people will know there's a fair distance to the pitch, so you can't be seen when you're shuffling food along the line. So I tend to have the food there. We've done big improvements, though, I'm told, on the burgers at Chelmsford. And they have improved the past two seasons. So for me, it's got to have loads of meat. And then I've had some good chips. Where was I the other week? I went to watch Atherton Collieries, which, of course, is nowhere near the Ryman League. I had some good chips with some gravy, which was very northern and very lovely. That's about the extent of it. So I'll have to let Adam down on that front. Never eat a burger.
He's just texted me. Wait a minute. It's Great Wakering Rovers that are leading, because they've got 9 out of 10. So they're leading the list. But Adam's just emailed me again. He said, Caroline even announced the birth of my first son, Samuel, live on her show back in 2010. So thank you for that.
Oh, has he had any more since then? Because he's not kept me up to date with it. So hopefully the other children won't be feeling left out if he's had some more.
He'll probably email us. I know he's listening, so he'll probably email me up.
And he can, you know, feel free to post me a burger if he wishes.
Seriously, he's burger mad. He does love his burgers. But as I said to him the other day, he's waiting to go to Great Wakering to taste the burgers at Great Wakering, because it was me that went down there the other day, and they were out of this world. These burgers, I must admit, they were fantastic.
There is non-league burgers on Twitter as well, isn't there?
I've not seen that.
Have a look. There's non-league chips, non-league dogs, and non-league burgers.
Well, that's probably Adam's Twitter feed.
Yeah. Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. But, yes, you can rate the food around non-league grounds, of course, every week. But, yeah, there's a... My favourite ever piece of non-league memorabilia is I've got a calendar that Hendon brought out, which was... what's it called? Tea huts of non-league football, or tea rooms of non-league football, which is about... all the different places you can buy your burgers up and down the league. So there were some great photos on that as well. So that's, well, if you can still get that on eBay, it's probably worth a look, although obviously the dates are all out. But I've still got it somewhere.
One of the things for me, I suppose, just one sort of off-the-wall question for you, if that wasn't off-the-wall enough, was basically... somebody like myself, only been sort of doing radio sort of like for a couple of years now. I mean, how did you get involved in sort of in radio yourself and at BBC and that sort of side of it, and how does someone, say, like myself, progress to, say, to where you are?
Well, that's where local radio is brilliant, and actually where what you guys are doing, and I don't want that to sound patronising at all, but it's kind of how I started just interviewing my friends in a rather precocious way when I was a kid, but then went on to answer the phones at BBC Essex at weekends when they were doing shows like their non-league football show. Obviously, BBC Essex was at Southend and Colchester, the big teams for them, but very much a non-league heartland as well. So it's about going and getting involved and offering yourself for free to go and work and grab that work experience. But the beauty of what's happened now with social media, with the advent of technology as well, is that all these different clubs have their own Rocks Radio, whatever it might be, up and down the leagues. They've got their own TV and radio as well. So go along and get involved. At Chelmsford, I know one of the guys that used to help out on the program, I don't know where he is now, but he went on to work for Spurs and the like as well. You get that experience, and it just gives you those options to go elsewhere. And it's not just in the media. That's why non-league clubs are brilliant. You can experience almost every aspect of life within your non-league club, from if you want to get into catering, PR, administration. It's all involved within your non-league club. Benefits the club because they get some freebies and some help. Benefits you. You get the experience and you get to do it as well. So for broadcast and for journalism, there is no better time than to be a journalist yourself and to broadcast yourself now. Get on Twitter. Let people know this is what you want to do. This is the area you will talk about. Why follow me? Follow me because I'm going to talk about X, Y, and Z, and that will be my brand on Twitter. Brand yourself, broadcast yourself, write a blog, get involved in your local club, and offer yourself for free to go and work for your local station. And it's about putting that graft in that you can then push forward.
Magic. Some great advice. Yeah. Great advice.
And if you don't do it, I'll be disappointed in you.
Yeah, just get some time off at Tesco's and I'll be there.
Yeah. Well, I was working at when I was 16, I was working at Tesco's on the weekend before going to BBC Essex. And then, you know, it was my finishing school. Other supermarkets are available. And then off to university, whilst at university, I was still working at BBC Essex. And, you know, you just have to put that graft in if it's what you want to do.
Magic. No, massive thank you for that. And we really do thank you for your time. You got another question, Joe? He looks like he's got another question to me. Here we go.
I've got plenty. I mean, I was just looking at your rapport, really. I didn't really have anything lined up, but I could easily pluck something out. I tell you what, look, I mean, it was non-league day on the weekend. I know for sure you've got some great off-the-record yarns, anecdotes that came out of that joyous day. Can you could disguise the names to protect the innocent? I mean, is there anything that happened that perhaps didn't make the final cut of the show from the weekend?
Well, I don't know. I really did risk life and limb crawling up to try and bring you a report from Altrincham. They've just installed there. Well, they've always had this kind of TV gantry there where they've done their TV filming from, but the radio boys have now moved up there. So I had to climb up this 30-foot ladder to get up there. And yes, I didn't think I'd survive it, but they were a lovely bunch. There were stories up and down. My favourite one, though, which is if you tuned in right to the end of our podcast, and you can speak to Dave Anderson about this, I wanted everyone... I sent out a message to a load of guys and girls that I knew were coming on the show. I wanted them to record a bit that we'd put at the top of the show, which was kind of like bouncing around all the different grounds around up and down the country. And I texted Dave Anderson and said, here's a line I want you to read. Just record it on your iPhone on a memo app and then send it to me. Well, about 5 minutes into his game, he's texting me saying, I don't know what to do. And I said, are you texting me and your game's kicked off? He said, yeah, I'm in the dugout. So he was having this conversation with me, and I thought he should perhaps be concentrating what's on the pitch. Same again at halftime. He said, I'll give you a call at halftime. I thought, do you not want to give the team talk at halftime? No, that was fine. He calls me at halftime. Couldn't get through. Second half tries to call me again. I was very busy. This is why, I mean, you'd think he was very busy. And in the end, I ended up with a report being left on my answer machine, which I couldn't do anything with or get off my phone. But the man is able to multi-skill beyond compare. And, Dave's journeys from the dugouts. Maybe we'll get him on. You should do that. Just get him on live one weekend when he's when he's at in the dugout, just have the bleep button ready.
I like that. Just live, raw, uncut. I don't know how the Harrow fraternity will feel about this distraction for him. But
they give him plenty of opportunity to roar, I think, down there, or at least his team does. So he's a good boy, and he helps me out a lot. But yes, he should be concentrating on the match in front of him.
Absolutely.
Adam Silver has just emailed me and he said his second son Max will not be offended.
Well, tell him to email me during a programme. I couldn't possibly remember now. Although obviously Max will forever be in my heart now, and I shan't forget him.
Well, Caroline, it is fantastic you've given up your time for us, and I know you've only just come off air yourself, so a massive thank you for being with us tonight. But any time you need anybody, I'm there. Don't panic, I'll be there too on the non-league show like a shot.
My absolute pleasure. I don't know whether they could put up with too many Southerners like us, though.
But no, it's been a pleasure, and hopefully we can speak to you again later on in the season.
And all the best of luck to, who was it, Brightlingsea Regent? Is that your team?
Close. <yeah.
laughs> Go on, the Harlow.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much indeed, Caroline.
Pleasure, thank you, boys.
Thank you, mate. Bye-bye.
Take care, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. An absolute legend. I think that was probably my favourite so far. Of all the legends I've had on this show, absolutely, definitely my favourite so far. That was just brilliant. What a fantastic lady she is, and a complete, what knowledge the lady has got as well. It's just fantastic. And that really opens it up to